Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a message about spiritual parenthood.
And you see how we just get that genealogy thing going on. Godly people investing in younger Christians who then grow and mature, who then are investing in younger Christians who grow and mature and are investing in younger Christians. And for 2,000 years, that's been going on in the church, and we are the glad recipients of it. But what will happen if there is a generation that does not see the need to pass the faith on to the next?
Whether you're looking to deepen your own spiritual journey or make a difference in the lives of others, the Bible reveals that mentoring can hold the key. And today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt highlights the importance of seeking and nurturing spiritual relationships within the church community, fostering a culture of discipleship and spiritual growth. Today's message wraps up our Christ First series, but you can always revisit your favorite lessons online at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve DeWitt in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with a message titled, Imitatable Faith.
So we begin now in verse 14. Here's what he says. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Paul says, I'm not writing this to make you ashamed. I'm not writing this to ridicule you. I am doing it to admonish you as my beloved children. And so now with this children language, we get into the idea that Paul is developing now of spiritual genealogy. Spiritual genealogy. Look at verse 15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. So we're talking about now genealogy, spiritual genealogy. You're probably familiar with the concept of a family tree. And that's what Paul is doing here. He is reminding them of where he fits on their family tree. I am your spiritual father, he says. He is a spiritual father. So let's talk about spiritual fatherhood a moment. Paul was this to the Corinthians. The reason Paul points this out to them is that his relationship with them as spiritual father is the basis for the main thing that he's saying here, which is in verse 16. Because I am your spiritual father, be imitators of me, he says. And you know how this goes. Somebody who does this is somebody who is talking like somebody else. Maybe they have a walk or they have some gesture or mannerism or whatever. And children don't have to work hard to sound like, look like, act like their parents. Children resemble their parents. Parents shape us. And spiritually speaking, this is the way that it's supposed to be as well, where God uses people in our lives, and Paul's talking about the actual birthing. I would maybe somewhat include others who kind of adopt us and become spiritual parents to us. God uses people like Paul in our lives to shape us, and we are then called to imitate them. And that's what Paul says here, imitate me. Here is actually what Paul is saying. He develops the thought just a little further in chapter 11, verse 1. Here's what he says in the same letter. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. You know, prior to Paul's salvation, there is no way that he could say to a Christian, imitate me. Because he hated Christ, he hated the church, he was doing everything that he could to destroy God's work. But once he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, now there became this huge transformation in his life. Now Christ's way of thinking about things was becoming Paul's. The truth found in Christ was becoming the truth that he loved and tried to live in his life. Christ's mission, the Great Commission, became Paul's mission in his life. And so in these ways, then, the life of Christ was being developed in Paul as he grew spiritually in his own walk, so that now he could say to the Corinthians, imitate me because I am imitating Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, it comes and dwells within the Christian. And this creates a continuing and ongoing progressive sanctification where Christ is more and more seen in my actions and attitudes. At least this is the way that it's supposed to work. When we are yielding to Christ and striving to grow in our walk, many people come to faith in Christ and their growth is very flat. Don't imitate those people. We're talking about people that are zealous for the Lord and are striving to be Christ-like in their life. These are spiritual fathers worthy of imitation. So again, think about who your spiritual father is, or maybe a spiritual father that has adopted you. And think about, what is it about them that influenced you? Or is influencing you? How are they influencing you? Because this is the way that it's supposed to work. I think about in my own life, I would say that the two primary fathers that I have had would be my dad, who along with my mom, God used to bring the gospel into my heart. I grew up in a Christian home. I've known about Jesus Christ and the gospel since I was a kid. I could quote John 3:16, I think, when I was two. And I've just known all of my life that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world because they taught that and, as best they could, lived it out in the home. So I would look at my father, my biological dad, as being also a spiritual dad in my life. In my 20s and 30s, I would put my mentor, Kimber Kaufman, in that category for me. I've talked about him before. He's preached here before. But Kimber was a guy that I met when I was in college, and I began to do some ministry with. He had started this church in Indianapolis, and I did an internship with him. And later on, I got hired by the church to go and to work on staff there. And I just spent tons of time with him. And he was rubbing off on me. That's what happens, is when you are with somebody like that, they rub off on you. I hope you got somebody that's rubbing on you, a spiritual father. And they influence you. I was glad to be Timothy to this Paul in my life. And I found myself, you know, talking about things, and I'd be like, oh, that's exactly the way that Kimber would say it. Or I would be thinking about something or doing some kind of ministry thing, and I could see his influence being lived out in the words and in my perspective on things, my philosophy of ministry, and all the rest. Why? Because he was a spiritual father to me. He rubbed off on me, and I profited from that. That helped grow me in the faith. I don't know who I would be if I did not have a father, a spiritual father, in those key years in my life like Kimber Kaufman. In fact, I can tell you, I look back at where I was in those days, and I am pretty sure that I would end up in a kind of Christianity that wasn't particularly concerned with deep doctrine or expository preaching or all the rest, because that's what I was fascinated with at the time. But he influenced me, and here we are today with the Bible open. He's influenced me, and I am blessed by it. Do you have a spiritual father in your life? If not, I would urge you to get one. And right now you're thinking, okay, where do you shop for those? Is it online? You know, how do you exactly get a spiritual father? You're never going to get a spiritual father unless you are in a context where there are spiritual fathers to have a relationship with. And oh, by the way, that's what the church is for. And so one of the things, my dear friends, as we talk with you, we talk about exalt, experience, and engage, and how important it is, basic Christianity, is to be involved in ministry with God's people. One of the wonderful fruits of that is that you end up rubbing shoulders with people that are spiritually more mature than you. And the fruit of that is oftentimes a relationship. You need somebody in your life who you can rub shoulders with, who can help grow you in the faith. And that is not going to be found in the hobby places of this world. It is found in the church. And so get in a context where you can have one. And we don't have fatherhood signups, you know. There's no adoption agency that we provide here in the church. It needs to happen naturally. but we need it. So maybe you'll consider that. All right, the other side of the spiritual tree is also very important. We talked about Paul, but what about the Timothys? You know, when I was staring at that family tree in my aunt's house, and I looked at where I was out on the twig, because I was out on the twig. There was a branch, then there was a smaller branch that was like my parents, and then there was the twigs. I was a twig. When I was a kid, I didn't look at myself as a twig and say, you know what, someday I'm going to be a branch. But that's the way that it generally works, isn't it? The twig reproduces and has a family, and slowly the twig becomes a branch, and the branch becomes the stump. And I didn't think that way, but that's the way that it happens naturally. And spiritually, the same thing is true. We are to have spiritual children. In other words, we're to have people that we are influencing. If everybody in the church says, I'm going to find somebody that can influence me, we're going to have a lot of people looking and nobody there saying, I want to be an influence, a benefit, a profit to a younger Christian in this church. So we need both. We need the Pauls and we also need the Timothys. Now notice what he says here. What are these Corinthians to imitate? Look at what he says in verse 17. He says, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Now, Timothy, well-known guy in the New Testament. Ever heard of 1 Timothy? This is not a trick question. Yeah, how about 2 Timothy? Oh, yes, of course. That's the guy. Paul and Timothy had this relationship where Paul was investing and influencing Timothy. And Timothy gladly received it from him. And the fruit of that was that Paul's perspective and Paul's priorities and Paul's life were so invested in Timothy that he can say here, I'm not coming now, but I am sending Timothy to you now, and he is going to remind you of what I am like. Timothy, the disciple, so much looked like the Apostle Paul that Paul can send him, and it's almost like sending himself. What does that say to us? That Paul prioritized the rubbing off, the influencing of younger Christians in his ministry. In fact, Paul says here that Timothy would be a living, breathing representation of Paul's ways in Christ, the ESV says. The NIV goes with way of life. I think that gets at it. The way that he lived. He was like a little Paul when he showed up there in Corinth. So, this is vitally important as well. We need godly men and women in our church who see a key part of their life and ministry, the intentional and active discipleship of younger Christians. And by the way, younger does not mean age. It's a stage of maturity. Listen to Paul in Philippians. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Philippians 4, what you've learned, here's a great guide for how to be a spiritual father. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. 2 Timothy 2, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And you see how we just get that genealogy thing going on. Godly people investing in younger Christians who then grow and mature, who then are investing in younger Christians who grow and mature and are investing in younger Christians. And for 2,000 years, that's been going on in the church, and we are the glad recipients of it. But what will happen if there is a generation that does not see the need to pass the faith on to the next? And who is selfishly says, I'm just sort of happy with my life in Jesus. I'm going to live, I'm going to die and go to heaven, and I never have a Timothy in my life. What is the fruit of that? It is the loss of the gospel ministry. You might say, well, that's just the Apostle Paul. Think of the ministry of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do in his life, in his ministry? He gathered 12 disciples around him. and he walked with them, and he talked with them, and he ate with them, and he just lived life with them. But he was rubbing off on them in such a way that they then became the leaders of the church after he ascended. Christ did the very same thing. Paul had Timothy, Paul had Silas and Luke and Epaphroditus and others that he was investing in relationships and influencing them. And I just would say, if this is something Jesus did, and if this is something that Paul did, is this not something that we should consider in our own life? I think so. This week, just as an example, this week I was at a dinner, and there was a out-of-town guest that was there, and I didn't know him at all. I knew, like, next to nothing about him, but we sat at the table to eat, and he began talking and sharing, and the others that were there began talking and sharing about this guy. His name is Lars. And as I was listening to this, and I was looking at this man, he's 65 years old, I quickly realized that this is a man that I needed to be quiet around and I needed to listen to, because he was a godly man. He was somebody that God had used in many ways. He headed the International Bible Society. He headed up translation work in Europe. He led another major organization. And 10 years ago, he quit all the other stuff. And he said, I'm starting a ministry of compassion and the gospel to the world. And now in 10 years, from age 55 to 65, now they are in 70 countries of the world in this major ministry that's going on. And so I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I need to make the most of this opportunity. If you're ever in a context where you're around somebody that you can benefit from, don't miss the opportunity. Take advantage of it. And so I wanted to in that moment. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, you know, there are people that in their life, they don't really do much. And then there are people that in their life, they bear a lot of fruit. They accomplish a lot. I said, you clearly are in this category. What do you think is the difference? That's what I asked him. And before he could answer it, the man at the table next to me said, I'll tell you what it is. He is really good at investing in the people around him. And I'm like, Paul was really good at investing in the people around him. Jesus clearly was very good at investing in the people around him. Potential spiritual fathers and mothers in this room, may I ask you, do you have a heart, enough of a heart, to invest some time, to invest some relationship, to see as a part of your life in ministry, finding somebody that you can either be a Paul to whom you can be a Timothy? And this, I think, is what we see going on here. And to me, this is healthy Christianity. When you see godly people investing in the younger, and then those younger maturing and growing and investing in the younger, this is younger spiritually, again, not chronologically, spiritually, that this is a sign of the Spirit's blessing on a congregation. And I see that here, but wouldn't it be great to see it more? I guarantee there are people sitting here right now that they're like, you know what, I'm Timothy. I would love to have a Paul in my life. Paul's here. Any eyes for that? Any heart for that? I want to encourage that. It would be great as a result of this, even this weekend, as we look at this spiritual genealogy thing, for there to be possibly somebody with courage to go to somebody and say, you know what, I've known you somewhat, I admire you. Could we do kind of what Pastor Steve was talking about, just for a little time? Could we have like Tuesday morning coffee every other week for like, you know, a month or two? I just want to talk to you about your walk with the Lord. It'd be great to do that. It also would be great when people ask that for the Pauls to say, I would be glad to do that. It takes both. It takes two to tango, as they say. It takes both to do that. You know, I say to the young people here, you might be like, oh, I'm a young person. There's no point in this for me. You don't begin to realize the impact that you can have on younger Christians as well. I remember when I was in school growing up, I had in my church, there was a guy named Dave Conrads. He was 3 years older than me. He was an athlete and he was a Christian. And I admired him, and he had an impact in my life. Young people, don't think that you can't do exactly what we're talking about here. Great to see that. But really, for all of us, do you get the point? A healthy church has got lots of Pauls, it's got lots of Timothys. that are going on. And I would suggest to you that in our lives, it is not the Billy Grahams, it is not the Rick Warrens, it is not the celebrity Christians who make an impact in our life. It is somebody that cozies up to us in a relationship that we get to know and we see them living their faith out. Those are the people that dramatically impact our life and our faith because we see Christ in them and we want that in our own life. And we need that here. Christian, you need that. You might be sitting there saying, I don't need that. You're wrong. You're wrong. You need that. We all do in our life. And so I just would love to see this message kind of stir that up and bring it to bear in an awareness sort of way in our church. Kinship group leaders and small group leaders, this is one of the primary things that you are called to do. You're not just there to sort of custodial take care of that group. You are there to shepherd them. That is a relational term. And to try to build into them and to rub off on them. And you might be like, there's not a lot to rub off. I don't know that I'm worthy of that. You're not. None of us are. But love Christ and then be in relationships with people. It just happens. So some application questions here. To conclude, number one, to ask the question, do I have a Paul in my life? Do I have a Paul in my life that I have an active relationship with? Who could possibly be a Paul? And would they mind if I humbly went to them and asked for them to have some kind of relationship with me like this? Is there a relationship in my life that if I took an intentional step would be spiritually profitable for both of us? Am I striving to live a life worthy of spiritual imitation? And that's a challenging one. How many of us can say, imitate me? Not many of us would want to, but we need to. What Timothy might I have, and am I failing to make the most of it? I would bet that most of us, probably if we thought about it, there is somebody in our life that if we just took a little step of intentionality, that relationship could actually be something special. Maybe tonight or today would encourage you to maybe make a little step like that. And maybe just say, you know what, you're somebody I would like to spend some time with. That person, they would love it. Oh, I'd be great. What can we do? So why don't you maybe have some courage and do it. And you could probably come up with some other ones. But again, the point is this, that we are to have a Paul, we're all to have a Timothy. We are branches and twigs. There is a generation that is coming up behind that needs heroes, people in their life that they can imitate and be influenced by. And all the Timothys need to become Pauls and to have Timothys then again in their life. And let's let that thing just start cranking in our church. I think we all would be blessed by it, don't you?
Imitatable faith. That's the title of today's message here on The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. This concludes his Christ First series in Corinthians. And Steve will be back in a moment, so stick around. If you'd like to revisit this series, visit thejourney.fm or subscribe to our podcast. Just search for The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt in your favorite podcasting app. Now, with more to share, here's Pastor Steve with a word about his new book.
Are you feeling lonely? You are not alone. In fact, loneliness is medically an epidemic in the days that we live in. But guess what? The gospel provides hope, and I want to share a biblical perspective on loneliness in the book I've just written for you. It's titled, Loneliness, Don't Hate It or Waste It, Redeem It. In my new book, I share some powerful insights from the Bible and practical tips to help transform your loneliness from something that perhaps you resent to something that is a gift. Whether you're single, married, or leading others, this book covers a range of topics on the subject of loneliness. So let's face it together and learn how to navigate loneliness. If you're ready to turn things around and build deeper connections with God and those around you, I'm confident this book can be your guide. Let's tackle loneliness head on and discover the joy of true connection together. Tim will tell you how you can get a copy of this new book.
Thanks, Steve. A copy of Loneliness is yours for the asking when you give a gift of support to The Journey. Just call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763, or give online at thejourney.fm. Well, that's all our time for today. I'm Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us tomorrow. We're taking a break from our usual programming for a heartfelt chat with Pastor Steve DeWitt. We'll be covering some timely subjects, including personal updates from Steve, and a sneak peek at his new book and series, all about redeeming the ache of loneliness. Don't miss this exclusive interview Friday on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.